Now, we both knew he was lying at that point.
But you know what? He made me want to do that day. He made me want to be a better mom.
Welcome to the Christy Faith Show, where we share game-changing ideas with intentional parents like you. I'm your host, Christy Faith, experienced educational advisor and homeschool enthusiast. Together, we'll explore ways to enrich and transform both your life and the lives of your children. We have a special guest today, Heidi St. John. She is an amazing podcaster, author who just went into the world of children's literature, right, Heidi?
Yes, and I author, did.
Yes, author of over 10 books. It's an honor to have you on the show today. The first question I want to ask you is, I know that you just came out with a children's book. Will you tell us a little bit about it?
Yes, this is my first foray into children's books, and Brave Books contacted me, you know, maybe a year ago or so. And of course, I was thrilled because I love what they're doing. The story follows a character named Mr. Mouse, who has all this, you know, he's really good at helping people, but he's not good at getting help. He's not good at asking for help. He reminds me of every homeschool mom ever. And so he gets into trouble. He helps all of his friends. And then when he needs help, he refuses to ask for it. And so guess what? His friends eventually, they realize, oh, he's in trouble. They help him and he gets by with a little help from his friends. And what I'm hoping is that this book will resonate not only with children, because it really does teach children it's good to ask for help. We were created to live in community, but I think it's going to resonate with homeschool moms. You know, I've raised 7 children. I know what it's like to, you know, feel like you're drowning. And everybody needs that mom on the other end of the line who's like, girl, you need a mocha with extra whip. I will be there. You know, you want sprinkles, girl, you need sprinkles. You know, everybody needs that person on speed dial in their life. And that's kind of the story of the mouse in the sea. But the other thing I love is just working with Brave Books. I love a company that's going to give Scholastic a run for its money. I love any company that wants to put the woke, ideologically upside down, backward company Scholastic, who is peddling disgusting books to children, out of business, you know. So Brave is putting really great books into the hands of children, and we're making story time something that everybody wants to do again. So people can check it out at bravebooks.com. If they use my name, Heidi, at checkout, they'll get 20% off. And also, they'll get my book for free. So The Mouse in the Sea is my book with Brave, and they'll get that book with their kit, and they can get a monthly subscription. Yeah. So it's a month. Okay. So we really want, I mean, they can buy my book on Amazon, sure. But what we really want you to do is subscribe and become a member of the book club. And then they get a brand new book every month. So different authors, different books every single month. It's awesome. I love Brave Books.
Awesome. Great. And I know I was just recently reading a survey that said 6 in 10 adults feel too busy to enjoy their lives. And 60% of Americans believe that there are not enough hours in the day to complete their to-do list. And a couple years ago, I was going through a little bit of a rough time emotionally, and I had a friend who was too. And afterwards, after we both came out of the fog, we had this conversation where both of us were crying, and we were like, we could have helped each other. We could have just gone on the phone and cried together. And I feel like so many of us, mamas in particular, homeschool moms especially, we carry so much of the mental load of our families. And we're also volunteering. We're generally people that care about others. I mean, that's just a personality trait of ours. We deeply, deeply care for others. Why do you think it is so hard for us to reach out to people who... And I want to talk about when we do feel lonely, but for those ladies who do have lots of great friends, why do you think it's so hard for us to reach out for help?
Well, I mean, I'm an old, you know, older mom myself now, but I blame the advent of social media for a lot of this stuff. I mean, we've developed unrealistic expectations for mothers. Most people don't post their B-reel, right? They post the A-reel so that everyone thinks that their life is perfect. There's no such thing as a perfect mom, and bad days don't make bad moms. And yet what we see on social media is the opposite. Either that, or we see the moms who are just, you know, complaining, and everything's a drudgery, and, you know, motherhood's a drudgery and homeschooling's a drudgery. I think there's got to be a different way to look at it. Listen, our kids need us to be healthy, right? They need their moms to be healthy. They need them to be engaged. And we find that by engaging in community. We were created for relationship. And the relationships we find online, these virtual relationships, we just got out of, you know, 3 years of the most ridiculous thing we've ever lived through in this country, the lockdowns and all that, which have created, I think, even more of a mental health crisis than we already had going into it. Mm-hmm. And I'm just encouraging people, ask for help, accept help when people give it to you, you know, and teach your kids to do the same, because we're setting the tone for our kids. Also, it's a jumping off place for us to not become the martyr mom, right? We've all been martyr mom. I have also been martyr mom, but it's not attractive. And so, you know, we could avoid those meltdowns maybe sometimes if we could just ask for help.
Yes, our own meltdowns, not our kids' meltdowns.
Exactly. Well, maybe both.
Yeah. Well, that do it all. And the thing is I feel like, especially with the latest wave of feminism, if you look at the history, I'm a trained historian, and there's been several waves of feminism. I feel like this generation has the worst end of the deal, because we are told that we have to have the jobs and raise the kids and now homeschool on top. I'm a full-time working homeschool mom myself. We have this do-it-all-yourself mentality in our society, and it's actually praised. And I want to unpack that a little bit, because like you were saying, we're not designed to do this. We are wired to do this with community and with people. And I feel like there is a tremendous amount of loneliness amongst the crowd. And I can't help but think that this is somewhat normalized because of our school experiences growing up. I grew up in the public school system. Even if you go to a private school, I was very lonely. I had lots of friends, but still felt very lonely going through the school system. And I think that we're kind of accustomed to living this way. Studies are showing that this is not a great way to be living. I say in my book that at what the end of my socialization chapter, I say the most popular kid in school could very well be the loneliest.
Oh boy. I mean, that's so much to unpack, and it's absolutely true. You know, I think what's coveted right now, in especially in the younger generations, is platform. And I have watched people, you know, I've been writing for a very long time. I, you know, probably one of the, you know, one of the OGs of Facebook, right?
Yeah.
And I would tell these younger mothers who would come to hear me speak, like, you can have, you know, 500,000 people that follow you online and be the loneliest person that you know.
Yeah.
Because these relationships are not real. Mm-hmm. We need each other. We need real in-person relationships. I think one of the reasons that I think my ministry has resonated with moms over the years is that I came from a broken home. I came from a very unhappy home. I did not see marriage modeled well for me. Mm-hmm. And my parents divorced when I was 18. Well, then, you know, I come to realize, really, I believe just through the power of prayer and God's working in my life, that the responsibility for educating children was my responsibility and my husband's primarily. And when I decided to pull our kids out of the public school system, all of the lies about socialization, I heard every single one of them. And I realized in pretty short order that a lot of things I had believed about education, a lot of things I had believed about family were just lies. They were just things that were made up in the culture. Mm-hmm. And the real benefit of bringing our children home was twofold for us. It gave us time that was being really stolen from us by the school system, but it also gave me the opportunity to just be real. And I have been real with audiences for, you know, going on 20 years. You know, I'm the mom who would stand up in front of, you know, 5,000 homeschool moms. And, you know, I had spit up in my shoes. You know, I was like, there was one point, I can't remember where I was speaking for a conference, and I had a brand new baby at the time. Our kids are 20 years apart. So my oldest is 32 and my youngest is 13. And so I'm pretty sure it was my youngest, but I was getting ready to go take the stage and I was breastfeeding her, you know, sitting in the front row, just trying to, you know, make sure her little tummy was full before I took the stage. And I put her kind of over my shoulder and kind of, you know, tap, tap, tap. And she just, I mean, she spit up all over me. It was ridiculous. I took the stage, was spit up in my shoes, was spit up in my hair, with all over my clothes. And I just told the moms, I said, can we just have a moment of silence for every mom who has felt like she's going through her life with spit up in her shoes? Like, moment of silence for that mom, right? Mm-hmm. And there's something really precious, I think, about being real. And I want to encourage, you know, a new generation of moms, keep it real. Like, you know, the best things in life happen to also be hard things, right? Marriage.
Well, a lot of people say homeschooling is easy, and I just flat out disagree. I think at times homeschool can feel really hard, and part of it is the weight of the responsibility to not mess up our kids. We are often riddled with self-doubt, second guessing and feeling overwhelmed with excessive amounts of information out there and all of the options. And at the same time, we love our kids. We don't want to mess this up. So how do we build a homeschool that our kids will thank us for later on down the years when they are adults? Well, the first step is joining Thrive Homeschool Community, where you find the 8-step homeschool success framework. This helps you build an undeniably successful homeschool that gives your kids what they need now, that also prepares them for their future, and helps you in the day-to-day as well. Each year and each kid presents us with uncharted territory. But with the right plan, you can rest in the security and confidence that you are doing a great job. The path is easy. Join Thrive, say a quick hello to all your new friends, start right away the 8-step homeschool success framework, and kiss anxiety goodbye. It's risk-free, no contracts, you can cancel anytime, no questions asked. I truly believe this, and I've read the studies on this, that a lot of this do-it-yourself, it's all on my shoulders, I got to get this done, it's my responsibility. Actually, in many cases, I'm not saying every listener here, I can say so in my case, is a trauma response. This is part of it's a trauma response to painful things that happened in our childhood where we believed we couldn't trust others for whatever reason. Yeah. And I want to just acknowledge that, because I feel like especially I don't want anyone hearing this to listen and say, oh, great, here's another thing that Heidi and Christy are telling me to do. Now I have to reach out to people, when maybe that's actually really hard for you right now because of stuff in your history. And the other thing, Heidi, is I think that this is a big thing in my Thrive Homeschool community, and a lot of the listeners here also follow me on social media, is that there's no glamorization here. When I was on a Zoom last week in my Thrive Homeschool community, I was crying with the ladies because, you know what? Life is really, really hard. But at the same time, this is what's scary. And I want you to talk about this, because platonic relationships are actually pretty hard. And when you put yourself out there and decide to be vulnerable, which is what we're supposed to be doing, not everyone knows what to do with that. Not everyone knows how to honor that. And it makes people uncomfortable. And I think that that's so vital, like you said, to have those core people in your life. I was at Pilates class this afternoon, and I looked at a lady crying, and her 48-year-old son is dying. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and here she is at Pilates class because she doesn't know what to do. You know, she's like almost like a walking zombie. And I just sat there and listened to her. And I'm not a saint, but I'm like, this world is just so hurting. And it's real. And I would bet that that's pretty hard for her to be like vulnerable in that way. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk about that a little bit, because it's risky, because I have chosen to be vulnerable at times. And I was like, well, that didn't go well. Or I got hurt as a result of, you know, and you and I are public personalities, you much more so than I. But I'm going to just be honest with the audience. When I first hit on TikTok, I had to get into therapy, because so many people judge you for what they see on social media. And that's just a piece of what I've chosen to share. Every piece of content I make is really me, but it's not all of me. Right. And so, you know, I had people canceling me here and this there. I'm sure you get that a lot.
Oh, yes.
So having that grounding, I know I just talked a lot, but I want to hear what your brain was turning when I was sharing about that vulnerability piece. I'd love to hear you speak on.
Yeah, it is hard for people. And I think you have to have people in your life who you really trust. And if I'm very honest, I would say that my circle is very small.
Yeah.
The circle of people that I am just like going to call up and be like, here's what happened, or this article was written about me in the paper, or whatever it was. I mean, my life has pretty much been an open book. I released a book from Tyndale in 2017 called Becoming Mom Strong, How to Fight with All That's in You for Your Family and Your Faith. And in that story, in that book, I told the story of my growing up. I grew up with a father who was abusive. I mean, the guy was arrested for some of the things that happened in our home when I was growing up. And because as a result of that, so I got married at 19 years old. Jay and I are coming up on our 35th wedding anniversary. And when he married me at 19 in 1989, I was about as broken as a 19-year-old girl could be. Mm-hmm. I had been broken emotionally, broken spiritually, broken physically, just broken in every way. And shortly after I got married, I finally went to see a physician who put me on an SSRI, and I stayed on those for almost 20 years. and struggle with mostly anxiety, not so much depression, but mostly anxiety. I was just wired for panic attacks. I had panic attacks for no reason. And I felt a freedom at some point. I can't remember how long it had been into my public ministry to share this in a book. And I mean, I went to all of my siblings first because my story is kind of their story. Like, I can't really tell a story about my family without saying these are the people in my neighborhood, you know? Mm-hmm. So I had to really get sort of permission from them to do that. And then I did that. But then there were two things that happened. The main thing, and this is what I want people to hear, there is so much free. I'm not worried about people finding out that I was on Xanax anymore because I told them already. People are like, I can't believe it. I'm like, you missed the memo, dude. You're late to the party. Yeah. Like everybody knows. Also, my story is a story of healing. Yeah. It's a story of not staying in that place. It's a story of my relationship with the Lord Jesus that changed my life and changed the trajectory of my life and my family. That's a story worth telling. And if people don't like it, I kind of don't care. I'm 53 years old now. You don't like me? I don't care. And there's freedom that comes in that, but there's always been downsides to it, right? And so when I ran for Congress, for example, they printed articles about me saying I was unfit and unstable because I had been on anxiety medicine.
Yeah.
Really tried to take this thing, which is my story is a story of victory. I'm nobody's victim, right? I came out of what could have been a situation that actually killed me. And instead, I've raised 7 healthy, whole human beings and homeschooled them. My story is a victory story, but somebody who didn't have my best interest at heart would turn it into a different story. And so you have to be comfortable with your own narrative. Yeah. And I think part of that for me has just been laying it all out there. Now, do I do that in my everyday, you know, every little thing that bugs me, every little, you know, comment that someone makes about me on social media or someone says something mean? I actually read, Christy Faith, you'll love this. I read almost all the mean reviews of my book on my show the other day, just for fun. It was awesome. It was so much fun. I was like, and this person said, you know, Heidi St. John is this and this and this and this, and she's a blah, 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 blah. And I was like, yeah, you're right. That's exactly what I think. Thanks for writing in. You know, like I happen to know the truth and I'm standing on that. And my story is a story of healing. And so I'm not going to let anybody take that narrative from me. And I think people need to own their own narrative, own the narrative, you know, before somebody else gets the narrative, it's your story to tell. And so find those people that are close to you. I mean, there have definitely been, I think, you know, for me as someone who has a relatively large platform, the things that have been most hurtful is you kind of don't know who your friends really are.
Yeah.
Right. You know, somebody who just wants to be your friend because they want to get a slot on your podcast or whatever, you know. So you have to be discerning, you know, and then when you find those people, shoot fire, hang on to them, because I think real friends in this life are very hard to find. And when you find them, you want to hang on to them. So I feel like for me at this point in my life now, I'm a grandmother. I have 4 grandbabies and soon to have 5. I'm just at a point in my life that I am comfortable saying I don't have it all together. Comfortable saying, oh, hey, I yelled at my kids. Oh, hey, you know, my house is a mess or whatever. Because I know who I am. And I think social media has taken that from a lot of people who feel like they have to put a different persona out online. And what it really does is it injures the people who are listening and watching, because that's not real life. So keep it real and then own your own narrative.
Before we continue, I want to share with you a program that has been a game changer for our homeschool. At our learning center, we instructed and taught pretty much every math program out there on the market, so we know firsthand how important a solid math foundation is for our kids' futures. Finding the right homeschool math program that didn't compromise academic excellence, but also one that didn't put me and my kids through the ringer was a challenge. Till one day, I tried CTC Math. You guys, the rest was history. First off, it's a mastery-based program, which means your kid gets a solid grasp of the material. It's also loaded with mixed reviews, ensuring kids never forget what they've learned. And the questions are adaptive, which keeps students confident and progressing at their own pace. But the best part, all the teaching and grading, done for you. With CTC Math, there is no compromise on excellence. Your child gets a top-notch education, and you just made your homeschool life easier. Visit CTC Math for your free trial today. Yeah, exactly. And then when, you know, there's always that fear, like when, by the way, is this podcast for other people or is it for me? Is this Heidi mentoring Christy right now? But also, which it can be. No, but I think it's just so vital to that relatability and that place of shame that a lot of us, you know, and you talk about, I think in your book, The Mouse in the Sea, or this is part of what you talk about when you talk about your book, is this social media piece where there's all this very curated, you know, I started out as a TikToker, so we're pretty raw on there. I mean, I have some stuff on there that's like, okay, but still, you know, I feel like there's a lot of curated content. And I even realized that if someone was to binge watch my page right now, they'd get pieces and it's all real. But they don't actually know me yet. They don't know me.
Well, and because there's nuance to you. You're more than a TikTok account. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's totally okay. But when they meet me, they're going to, I would hope and I would pray that they're going to meet someone who understands them, sees them, has compassion, and just wants to love on them and inspire them. Because so many moms, and I want to speak to this, you to speak to this as well. So many moms in our country homeschool, and there's reasons for this. I talk about this in my book a little bit. Homeschool crippled with fear. Am I doing enough? Am I enough? What is my kid supposed to be learning right now?
Will there be gaps in their education?
Yes. Will there be gaps and all of that? And so I spend a lot of time, and I'm sure you do too, doing this de-schooling, but I'm a huge believer that de-schooling needs to be a reclamation. It's not just, it's like, you don't just say, I'm going to quit smoking or I'm going to lose. You don't say, I'm going to stop eating junk food. You actually have to start eating healthy food, right? And so I'm huge on that. Let's replace these toxic ideas. Let's replace the fallacies of what an education is with truth. And I want you to speak to that, being a mama who has homeschooled all of her kids. A lot of them are flown and grown now. You're a grandmother now. What would you say to the mom who is within her first 5 years of homeschooling? She's still looking up those state standards. And honestly, you know, it's not her fault. We've all been indoctrinated and imprinted. What would you say to that mama?
Well, I think, again, it goes back to owning your own narrative. There was a reason why you took your kids out of school. Go back to the reason. Yeah. Why did I take my child out of this school? Why have I decided to bring my kids home? The reality is that the schools have lied to us, right? Yeah. Our media is lying to us. The news is lying to us. The education system is lying to us. I mean, come on, we could talk about big pharma. We can run the gamut of people who've lied to us. Mm-hmm. And you're talking to, I consider myself sort of at the tail end of the pioneer movement in homeschooling, where, you know, I was give Heidi St. John a little red wagon. I'm gonna go to the library and figure it out, you know, but I know for a fact that I was lied to as a student. I went to one of the most elite Christian schools in Portland, Oregon. And it's funny to me, you know, I went there kindergarten through 12th grade. What is happening in our schools when I can get out of this school or you can graduate from a government school and we don't feel competent to teach our own kids how to read? We don't feel competent to teach our children that 2 + 2 = 4 or basic arithmetic, basic math. It's because we've been told a falsehood. We've been told that you have to have a certification to do that, that you have to have a degree, that you need a teacher certificate to do that. Well, none of it's true. And I remember that when I got someone gave me a book called Teach Your Child to Read in 100 Easy Lessons. That was the gateway drug for me.
It's a classic.
Yes. So they give me this book. And all I was trying to do, because my other daughter was already in the government school, right? So my oldest daughter, who's now 32 with 4 kids of her own, she was in the government school. And I had her little sister at home and I was trying to pass the time. So I went down to a homeschool supply store and I walk in, this guy named Eli, of course his name's Eli, right? At the homeschool supply store. I walk in there and I just said, listen, I'm not interested in homeschooling. I don't understand why any woman in her right mind would want to be home locked up all day with her kids for 18 years in a row when a yellow bus come taken away for free. So I'm not here because I'm interested in homeschooling. I'm just here because I'm trying to have something to do with my daughter while I wait to enroll her in the public school. He said, fine. Gives me this book, Teach Your Child to Read in 100 Easy Lessons. And Christy Faith, like four lessons into it, I was like, I can teach you to read? Wait, what? What? You're reading. You're like, her dad would come home from work and I'd be like, honey, stop everything. Sierra, read this for your dad. She's reading the word am, right?
Yeah.
She reads And I'm like, I did that. I taught her that. Right. And it was this light bulb moment, this extraordinary, this unveiling, right? Yeah. Like the scales fell from my eyes. And I learned that year that I could accomplish with Sierra in a half an hour a day what it was taking the public school 8 hours, 5 days a week, 9 months out of every year. They were stealing my daughter from me, and it made me angry enough to pull her out of school. Mm-hmm. And we never looked back. None of my other kids ever set foot in a public school. And I think that this is the awakening of this generation, right?
Yes.
These mothers who are like, oh, hey, I'm going to take my kid back. Thank you very much. And then the doubt creeps in, right?
Yes.
Then the doubt creeps in. What about socialization? That's my favorite question. I love when people ask me that. Please ask me about it. I'm begging you. I remember during COVID, and this is not a COVID episode, but I have to tell you. I remember during COVID, because I was the girl who would not wear the mask. I'm so sorry. No science. I won't do it. So I go into the store and I just am like, do it. Ask me. Ask me why I won't play your stupid little game. Ask me why I'm not doing it. I want you to. That's how I feel about socialization. Ask me. Go ahead. Make my day. When people ask me about socialization, I always tell them, thank you so much for asking. That's exactly why I pulled my daughter out of government school. That's exactly why I did. I feel the same when people say to me, well, there's going to be gaps in my kids' education. Yeah, you're right. You're right. And there were gaps in my private Christian school education. And there were gaps in your education.
Yeah, it's a fallacy. But the thing is that parents don't know what's actually going on in the schools. Teachers do. I started out in the classroom. We know. Sure, we checked all those boxes. Those kids don't. Why do you think we had to reteach everything in September? It's because they don't remember it.
Yeah, we're not retaining anything.
Yes. And like the big question, and it's the question that led to my own deconstruction, is I dared to ask myself, look where it got me. I dared to ask myself, what is an education? What is, because I believe the short answer is it's the cultivation of a human being.
It is.
And when you refine it to that, it is, who cares about the freaking water cycle or the periodic table? I cheated my way through chemistry and then never even needed that again. You know, and it's not that there isn't value to
the discipline. Well, and it's a discipline, right? Memorize the periodic table. Why? Just so you can say you did it.
I know. And my kids do memory work. But the thing is that's what's so exciting, is parents are waking up. But this goes back to what your current passion project is, and that's reaching out for help. Because this is why I wanted to circle back. It's why I even mentioned it in the first place to you, is as homeschool moms, especially ones in the first 5 years, it is extremely countercultural. I have so many mamas in my community where their husbands aren't really supportive. They're kind of skeptical.
Yeah.
All the in-laws, the grandmothers are basically
super normal.
I had very typical.
Very typical.
Sadly, not even skepticism, but actually wanting them to fail.
Yeah.
And they're in my membership.
Antagonistic.
Home. Yes. And that's why I want to talk about, yes, it's good for every mom in America listening to this to reach out and ask for help. But I just want, you know, my heart is homeschool moms. And I do feel like it's very easy to become isolated when you are a homeschool mom, because, for example, like even on my cul-de-sac, I don't care if my neighbors hear this right now, we are the only homeschool family. We're not included in a lot of stuff. We are totally fine with it, grounded. You know, we drove by the neighbors that had a lemonade stand the other day. My girls in the back seat didn't even care. By the way, that's because they're so healthily socialized. They don't have just one peer group. They have a bunch, right?
Right.
They didn't care. They didn't even feel excluded, nor did I. But my point is that it can be an extremely isolating choice. And your friend group, if you are newer, your friend group and your friend landscape will change. And there might be that little storming period that could last a year or two where you're like, where are my people? Maybe you've joined a co-op and you're like, okay, these aren't my people. I've done that. I'm like, okay, on to the next one. And then, you know, that type of a thing. And so I just feel like it's an important message to, even if there's just that one person that you can reach out to and say, I'm feeling really lonely and insecure in my homeschooling right now.
Yeah.
It can even if you're in, weirdly, if you're willing to be vulnerable, even if you're in like a large free Facebook group, chances are if you put that out there, someone's going to relate, you know, and it's one of the reasons why I started my community. But don't you feel like that's the truth, is that it homeschool moms in particular, it's just we have so many arrows being pointed at us at any given time. The government doesn't even trust us, that community is just vital. Enjoying the show and don't want to miss out on future episodes, hit that like and subscribe button and show us some love with your reviews. Those 5-star reviews really do help us reach more people.
Yeah, it's so important. And I think too, you know, like I said before, it really does go back to being willing to ask for help, being willing to be vulnerable, owning your own story, know why you did it. You know, fruit takes time to grow. When Jay and I pulled our kids out of the government school system, his parents thought we were crazy. My parents thought we were crazy. My family, so many of our friends, because I was one of the only ones, you know, first people to ever do it in my family. Well, guess what? So now it's been, you know, 27 years. I mean, they made fun of us. Guess who's not making fun of us now? No one's making fun of us because there's fruit now. Because now they can see, oh, my kids are happy and healthy and whole. And they're actually doing fine. They've got jobs and families of their own. They're getting married and starting businesses. They're doing just fine. Mm-hmm. But back then, I didn't have that. Mm-hmm. It was just this grand experiment. You know, I was just like, well, I hope this works, you know.
Yeah.
And I am so thankful we didn't give up. I'm so thankful we didn't listen to the naysayers. Find your people. We're doing something extraordinary here in Vancouver, Washington at the Homeschool Resource Center. People can find out about it at firmlyplantedfamily.org. Just click on the Homeschool Resource Center. Jay and I have planted in the United States over 100 homeschool cooperatives. And so we've been doing this for a really long time because I believe so passionately that we need community. We absolutely need to do life together. Mm-hmm. And you can find your people. There's no reason for anybody to homeschool alone anymore. Absolutely no reason at all. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for groups, you can go. I love to send people to the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, hslda.org, and they have, you know, state listings of groups that are in your area, and you can click on those and find out about that. But we need each other. We need each other. We got to be real with each other. We have to be willing to say, oh, hey, that didn't work. And what are you doing with your 8-year-old who's screaming at you, or the kids who aren't listening? One of the beautiful things about home education is it gives you the opportunity to put down the textbook and start instilling character in your children. Character comes before curriculum. Character comes before curriculum every single time. Before you teach your kids the ABCs, teach them how to love each other. If they're not respecting you as their mother or you as their father, they won't have respect for other people either. And so in our house, that was primary. These were the primary things that we taught. I was much more concerned that my children were grounded spiritually and emotionally than I ever was about make sure that you memorize the periodic table. Because guess what? I've got one shot at training my children up, one shot at making sure that they're the healthiest they can be when they leave my home. And I don't want to waste it screaming and yelling about the periodic table. And that's not to say we didn't do chemistry and not, you know, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying, you know, Tiny said, don't educate your kids. No, I'm saying get your priorities in order.
Yes.
And the school has it backward. Right. Yes. The schools are filling your kids' heads with useless information and knowledge when what they really need is wisdom. And Christy said it really well the other, you know, a few minutes ago, that it's human formation. I call education, we're discipling our children. We are giving, we are passing on to them generational wisdom. Mm-hmm. And all you got to do is go on to the campus of California State Berkeley and see what it looks like to have a generation of fools, right? Mm-hmm. These are kids who have a lot of head knowledge, but they got no wisdom to back it up.
Yes.
And that will be the thing that takes your child through life. And so part of it now, and I like to tell this to homeschool moms, I've been the sobbing, crying homeschool mom. My husband came home from work one day and, you know, here I am, Heidi St. John, cannot keep houseplants alive, and I'm homeschooling 6 kids. And there was a lot of crying involved.
Thought, this is fake. I can't keep houseplants alive.
No, I cannot. I cannot. Yeah. Fake plant behind me. Yes.
Yeah.
Although I'm growing microgreens right now and I'm actually succeeding at it, but that's a story for another day. I am telling you, Jay would come home from work a lot and I would be in tears on the couch. You know, the kids lost their math book for the 400th time, even though I made you a cubby with your name on it.
Yes.
Your math book has your name on it. Why do you lose your math book? I don't know. And one day Jay came home from work and I was crying on the couch and he was just like, what's going on, babe? I just kind of looked up at him like, you just don't want to know. Like, I forgot to plug the crock pot in and the day just went to heck from there. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. And he said, he goes, look at me, Heidi, look at me. So I kind of sit up and I look at him and he goes, Heidi St. John, ordinary women would be dead by now. There is nothing ordinary about you. Those yoga pants that you've been in for the last 7 days, they are hot. I love them on you. You could wear that same t-shirt, that spit up stained t-shirt, 6 more days in a row. That messy thing you're doing with your hair is sexy. Now, we both knew he was lying at that point. But you know what? He made me want to do that day. He made me want to be a better mom. It's not about perfection. Mm-hmm. It's not about how many likes you can get on Instagram or what some other homeschool mom is doing or how she's posting all the things she's doing that you're not doing that made you feel insecure.
I can get, because I make content, you do too. Yeah. I can guarantee you she got off camera and was screaming at her kid, or she made that kid stir that bowl of muffins 25,000 times to get the shot. And I am so against that. I hate it. That's why you don't see my kids. You don't see my kids' faces. I don't include them on my stuff. And I don't care what people think about that, because I'm not going to define their childhood by making content for me. You know, like, it's so unhealthy.
It's true. It's so unhealthy. And people look at these moms and they think they're doing it all. Well, guess what? They're not doing it all. They're absolutely not doing it all. People say, well, how come Heidi St. John was able to write, 10 books and homeschool the kids and start all the things that we did and start the nonprofit and whatever? What they maybe don't realize, even though I say it all the time, mm-hmm. is that I didn't do it by myself. I did it in partnership with my husband.
Yes.
And then the Lord brought people into my life. Melissa Crabtree works for me. She's here now. She just moved to Vancouver, she and her husband, to help us here. But she's worked remotely for me for 13 years. And all of the first fruit of any money I ever made, I gave to her, and I was still broke. Right? Because I needed the help. So I gave her the money. And I look at, these women who are trying so hard to create this Pinterest perfect life for your kids. Your kids don't want perfection. No. They just want you.
Yeah.
They just want you. Sit down and read them a story. Here's the other thing. Fun fact, after graduating now 6 of my 7, the things that are the most important about your homeschooling, this is a pro tip. I hope somebody's hearing me. The things I thought were the least important things, reading stories to my kids on the couch, snuggling with my kids, taking walks to the park, those turned out to be the things that my kids remember the most that they are now doing with their own kids. Those were the touch points along our day. Had nothing to do with whether or not I was able to finish that paper mache craft that I almost killed myself over. Nothing to do with that. It's all about relationships. Relationship, relationship, relationship. Listen to me, moms. Long after you close the last page on your math textbook, long after you're done teaching spelling and prepositions, and I hope you're teaching U.S. history to your kids, please, for the love of all things that is holy, teach U.S. history to your children. Long after you're done. And I hope they know the Constitution too. That was just a freebie. By the grace of God, your kids are going to be calling you for crockpot recipes. Yeah. They're going to want to hear how your day is going. Mm-hmm. You are raising parents for your grandchildren. That's what you're doing. What kind of parents are they going to be for the next generation? You are setting the tone. Mm-hmm. And has very little to do with a math book and everything to do with, are you making that heart-to-heart transfer? It's not so much about a data transfer. It's a heart transfer.
Yes.
And that's the success that's found in homeschooling. It's got very little to do with, yes, we're teaching our kids academics. Yes, we're doing it. But what we're really doing is we're shaping their hearts. That's the most important thing that you're ever going to do.
Yeah. That reminds me of the C.S. Lewis. He has a quote, I don't have it memorized, about how if you view education wrong, all you're going to make is an evil genius. When an education is just imparting information. It reminds me of my mom's pulmonologist, which I would love to say his name right now, but I won't do that. He's an awful person. He's an amazing practitioner. And my mom, she wants to leave him, but she should. But it's a whole story. It's a whole story because she likes the surgeon that he works with.
No, go away.
He's a terrible human being. He's a terrible human being that's not nice to her. And it's like, but he's this amazing, successful person. Well, I can guarantee you he's leaving a body count in his personal life, in his business, in all of this. He's leaving a body count. And we want to be people who, when anyone who comes into contact with us, including our children, we want them to feel loved, cared about, safe, that we are someone that they can talk to, because ultimately it's about getting rid of that shame, right? And anyway, and if you are a Christian, you know where that is found, where shame was finished forever. I'm so glad that you came on the show today, Ms. Heidi St. John. We will put all of your resources, your school, all that co-op network, the Brave book, everything will be in the show notes. Have no fear, people. I know people are going to be jumping to check out everything that you have going on. I have no doubt that there's going to be new audiences introduced to you because of today. So I'm so thankful that you came on to share your wisdom.
Oh, thank you for having me. This has just been an absolute delight. You have my heart.